Pope has frequently expressed his concern about the plight and treatment of migrants who risk everything to come to Europe. Earlier this month, he demanded urgent action by the European Union to stop the trafficking in migrants, saying the global economic crisis was driving more people to make the perilous journey. And the dangers of these journeys are apparent to all. How many of us have seen TV pictures of small, rickety boats crammed with illegal migrants approaching the Italian island of Lampedusa and wondered how such a flimsy craft managed to stay afloat? The island of Lampedusa, south of Sicily, was once known mainly as a sleepy tourist destination. But nowadays it's well known as the main landing point for rapidly growing numbers of illegal immigrants arriving in Italy by sea from North Africa. It's a deadly journey that sometimes ends in tragedy when bad weather strikes. For example, in late March, more than 200 African migrants trying to reach Europe drowned when their boat sank in stormy waters off the coast of Libya. But how often do we stop to think about the political and economic conditions in the migrants' homelands and the reasons that prompt them to pay huge sums of money to the people smugglers and risk their lives in this way? And what are conditions like in the detention centre in Lampedusa, where the illegal migrants often end up being held for several weeks at a time? In February this year, hundreds of Tunisian migrants at the Lampedusa detention centre rioted in protest at expulsion orders and clashed with security forces as they tried to escape from the facility. Human rights activists say the centre has suffered severe overcrowding after the Italian government decided last year to turn the facility into an identification and expulsion centre instead of a temporary reception centre. Gabriele Del Grande is an Italian author and human rights activist who is in charge of a website called Fortress Europe, which monitors deaths and disappearances of migrants at Europe's borders. He says the reports we read in the press of illegal immigrants drowning after their boats capsize en route to Europe is only the tip of the iceberg, and that the true number of victims is much higher.
Yes, actually, thousands of migrants have died. We, as the Observatory Fortress Europe, we tried to find in the international press all the news about it. And we found out that since 1988, at least 14,000 people have died. But actually, the real figures must be more high than this, because nobody knows what really happened in the middle of the sea. I mean, how many shipwrecks have happened without any journalists writing about it?
But coming back to the conditions on these boats, the sanitary conditions, there's presumably no toilets, you know, maybe they were often run out of food and water. Can you give us some details?
Well, you can imagine a boat of 10 meters can take 200 to 300 passengers. As you told it, there's no boat, there's nothing. I mean, people, they just bring with them some water, some biscuits, something to eat. The travel normally is from 2 days to 3 days. Sometimes they lost their ways and they can spend even 1 week in the middle of the sea. And the problem is the weather condition, because sometimes when you find a stormy sea, you can find waves 4 meters, 5 meters high. It's the migrants themselves who are driving the boat often. And so the first night of stormy sea, they find the boat can capsize because they don't have the experience of how to drive the boat. Sometimes, as I told you, especially when there's nobody who knows the sea on the boat, speaking about the captains, they lost the way. And so it can happen that a boat spends 5 days, 6 days, even more in the sea, without water, without food, under the sun in the summer, or maybe in a very cold night in the winter. So people die.
And when they arrive, many of these migrants have been held at a detention centre on the island of Lampedusa. What are conditions like in this centre from what you can gather by talking to the migrants who've been there?
Well, actually, the condition of the centre of Lampedusa, it changed a lot since December, because until December 2008, it was only a centre for the first assistance of the people who arrived. I mean, migrants were intercepted at sea, they were brought to the centre, some doctors make a visit, and then they were transferred after 2 days, 3 days, case to other centers all around Italy. Now, since December, what happened? The migrants who arrived and who have to be repatriated because they are not refugees, for example, Tunisians, Moroccans, Egyptians, they are taken in the center. So now you have a center with 380 places, which is hosting more than 1,000 people. So you can imagine the condition. There are people who are sleeping two persons in the same bed, on the pavement, even outside. In the month of January, there were 2,000 people. In the middle of the winter, they were sleeping outside in the courtyard of this center. And also we found some witnesses of beatings. It was February the 18th, and a riot came out in the center, and the police, in order to take control, they start beating the migrants, and we have some witnesses of it.
And one of those witnesses mentioned by Del Grande is Hassan, a migrant from Morocco, who ended up in the detention center at Lampedusa after crossing by boat from his homeland. He said he saw the police beat the Tunisian migrants who were involved in the rioting.
In that moment, the police was so angry, so the police was beating the Tunisians. They closed the windows and the doors and they started to beat the Tunisians.
As we heard, the simmering tensions at the Lampedusa centre exploded into violence in February this year, and scores of both migrants and security staff were injured in those clashes. However, Del Grande says there are indications that staff at the Lampedusa centre administer tranquilizers to all the inmates in a bid to keep them calm. Let's hear more from my interview with him.
Is it true that the staff at this centre apparently, in a bid to keep the detainees calm, they administer tranquilizers to them on a regular basis?
Well, you know, we have no evidence, but some people from inside the centre told us that sometimes, for example, after lunch, everybody feels very tired and they want to sleep and they don't understand. They feel very strange that 600 people, suddenly they feel so tired. So what they suppose, the migrants themselves, they say that maybe they put some tranquilizers in the food. We don't analyze the food, so we don't know. We can't have an evidence, but we can suppose it. What is sure, we have many migrants who ask for these tranquilizers because it's such a stress situation in the center.
How much of a disappointment is it for these migrants when they discover that they're not really welcome in Italy, that many Italians, in fact, resent their coming, their presence here?
Well, you know, they're disappointed because for them it's a kind of investment. You know, they paid a lot of money to come here. They have relatives here. No, it's not always simply workers who are looking for a better life. I'll give you an example. I'll give you the story of a Tunisian man I told with him. He was inside the center of Lampedusa and actually wanted to reach France. Why France? Because he is married in France. And his wife and his daughter, they are living in France. And he was living in France, but he was deported to Tunisia. And when you are deported, you cannot re-enter legally in the country for a certain period. And so the only opportunity to take the boat and to risk again his life in the sea just to rejoin again his wife and his family in France. So you can imagine how disappointed you are. You are treated as a criminal inside the jail in that condition.
So what kind of job or profession do these migrants have? Do some of them come from professional backgrounds?
Well, you can find everything. You can find people from the University of Asmara in Eritrea or in Tunis. And at the same time, you can find people who cannot even read and write. For the refugees, normally they are well-educated, comparing to the migrants who maybe comes normally from a background of poverty.
How much money on average do they pay to make this very dangerous crossing?
Well, the crossing of the Mediterranean from Libya to Sicily, it depends. It's normally from 1,000 euro to maximum 2,000. But it's not the only travel, I mean, they have to do. If people come, for example, from Somalia, from Eritrea, or even from Nigeria on the other side, on Western Africa, before they have to cross the desert of Sahara, and in this they can spend maybe another 500 euro, even more. People can spend even 1 year, 2 years, 3 years on the road. And often, They can pay even two times, three times, because it's something illegal. You have no guarantees. So it can also happen that you give money to somebody and he escapes with your money and you have to pay again. Or maybe you can be arrested in Libya the day before you have to leave. So after you are released, you have to pay again. So there are some people who can spend maybe 10,000 of euro. It depends.
So in fact, there are many people, as you say, who are risking their lives even before they get on the boats, and perhaps many people who are not making it across the Sahara. As you say, it's a very, very dangerous journey.
Yeah, of course. Even in the Sahara, it's not easy. Yeah? Maybe crossing the desert is more dangerous than crossing the sea. At least in the sea, you have some kinds of rescue organization, like the Coast Guard, especially the Italian Coast Guard. They are really doing a big effort to rescue people. But in the desert, you have nobody. We have a few news about it, but we can say that some thousands of people are dying in the desert. And they are coming to Europe. I mean, they are crossing to Europe.
And coming back to the migrants who end up in Italy, how many of them, what percentage of them do end up getting deported rather than being released eventually?
Very few people are deported. The majority of them, they apply for asylum. When you take, for example, in 2008, about 40,000 people arrived by sea and about 30,000 who apply for asylum. So you can say the majority, they apply for asylum. They come from Somalia, from Eritrea, from Sudan, from Nigeria. Then you have other people, especially from Northern Africa, who cannot apply for asylum normally, but not often are deported. They spend a couple of months in detention and after that they are released.
You said that, for instance, out of the 40,000 who came last year, that around 30,000 asked for asylum. Out of these 30,000, how many were granted asylum? How many were given asylum?
Well, let's say around 10%, they receive a political asylum, and around 40%, they receive a kind of humanitarian protection, you can say. So it means one half of them, they receive some kind of documents, and the other, they receive an order to leave the country, but they stay here because it's impossible to repatriate them because there's no cooperation with the embassies, and at the same time, it's impossible to give them a document. That's also the real problem. In Italy, we have maybe 500,000 of undocumented migrants, and the majority of them, they have a job, they have a house, they have somebody who would really like to make them a contract, but they can't. It's simply impossible. Because once you receive the order of expulsion from the territory of Italy, you cannot regularize your situation.
I was speaking there to Gabriele Del Grande, Italian author and human rights activist.